Blog Talk Radio.
Cheerleader. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's another Saturday. It's Empowerment Saturday coming to you live and clear. It's your main man Marvin Rowan along with our co-host Stan Macklin. We got another show for you today. It's gonna get down to the real deal. And we're gonna do that for you. In just a moment. Come on, y'all. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's better love. No better love. There is no better love. There is no better love than for self and kind. Do you hear me, people? There is no better love. And so here at the NAAEA, we're showing love for our people. It's African American Empowerment Show. It's Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for African Americans. All you got to do is go into the archives and listen to some of our shows, apply some of the strategies and tactics to your life, and become positive, peaceful, and productive. So here at the NAAEA, we focus on five pillars of empowerment. Get this. It's the peace concept. That's politics, economics, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness. C is culture, and E is education. And you got to get that, right? If you apply the principles of the peace concept, right, to your life, to your family, to your children, to your community, things will change. You have to have a political agenda. That's what we're going to talk about as we continue to move forward. What that agenda is, where you live, right, where our people are, we have to have an agenda. We have to have an economic agenda, economic plans, an economic platform where we all get together and spend our money wisely and well and not make other people rich, right? Then we have to take care of our bodies, which is athletics. Take care of your health. Work out. Eat right, right? You got to be able to take care of your body for longevity because you got to be here to teach and train the next generation. Do you hear me? Cultural programs, relevant cultural programs to have our people to understand cultural heritage, but not only that, to have pride in themselves and have dignity. Right, so when they walk around this planet, they'll know who they are. That's the originals. That's right, the aboriginals. That's what we are, African Americans, right, who have been displaced. And lastly, education, a comprehensive education of knowing who in the world you are and doing something about that. So today we're going to start our series on returning to our rightful place. And we've been talking about that. We've been talking about institutions that define our own reality. And so today Brother Stan is going to bring it home, and I'll bring him in right now. Brother Stan Macklin, are you available for conversation?
I'm here, my brother, and glad to be a part of another Saturday program on Empowerment 365. And I'm going to really put it out here because at 3 o'clock I got another commitment. But I really do appreciate this program, brother, and being able to use the platform we have to make a difference.
All right. So what I'm going to do, we got the lines packed again today. I'm going to run a clip. And then I'll turn it over to
the thing that has made the so-called Negro in America fail more so than any other thing is your and my lack of knowledge concerning history. We know less about history than anything else. There are black people in America who have mastered the mathematical sciences, have become professors and experts in physics, are able to toss Sputniks out there in the atmosphere, out in space. They're masters in that field. We have black men who have mastered the field of medicine. We have black men who have mastered other fields. But very seldom do we have black men in America who have mastered the knowledge of history of the black man himself.
I ain't gotta come up with a stage name. This ain't entertainment for the slow and brainless. I ain't gotta
All
come
right.
up with some lies about who-
There it is. Right? We have done so much that we don't know about, that we have to educate ourselves. That's the education piece. Brother Stan, I'm turning it over to you. Do your thing, baby. Do your thing.
All right. Well, we're so glad to be on the program today. And I don't know if many of you know, but the former president of Ghana is our It's our home. And there was in 1957, Ghana under Kwame Nkrumah was able to the first African country to gain its independence. And you know, I've been there many times, Brother Rome. You know, you've
That's
been
right.
there many times yourself, and
true that.
El Mina and Ghana is just they have embraced us, and they've told us it don't make no sense for y'all taking all that stuff that y'all take there in America. Come on home. Come on back home. We'll give you land, and we'll help to sustain you, and we can work together and make a difference. And they've literally done that. I mean, there is thriving communities there. We'll feature more of that a little bit later on. But there's, I mean top-notch modernized apartments and everything, and that's there. But we do want to talk about President Jerry Rawlings of Ghana. He died, and this man was a two-term president for 20 years. He led a couple coups there, and he just was a pillar, a tree there, a father of a statesman who paved the way for democracy there in Ghana. And Ghana is one of the most stable countries in Africa. But I'm going to play a little clip here. So that you can hear about more about how did Jerry Rawlings die.
How did Jerry John Rawlings die? Former president of Ghana Jerry John Rawlings dies at age 73. He is said to have died Thursday morning at the Korobu Teaching Hospital, KBTH, in Accra. Graphic Online has gathered. Mr. Rawlings had been on admission at Korobu for about a week for an undisclosed ailment. Graphic Online gathers he felt sick after his mother's burial about 3 weeks ago. Born on June 22, 1947, Graphic Online gathers that he passed on Thursday morning. As a former Ghanaian military leader and subsequent politician, Mr. Rawlings led a military junta from 1981 until 1992, and then served two terms as the democratically elected president of Ghana from January 7, 1993 to January 6, 2001. Mr. Rawlings initially came to power as a flight lieutenant of the Ghana Air Force, following a coup d'état in 1979. Prior to that, he led an unsuccessful coup attempt against the ruling military government on May 15, 1979, just 5 weeks before scheduled democratic elections were due to take place. After initially handing power over to a civilian government, he took back control of the country on December 31, 1981, as the chairman of the Provisional National Defense Council, PNDC. In 1992, Mr. Rawlings resigned from the military, founded the National Democratic Congress, NDC, and became the first president of the Fourth Republic. He was re-elected in 1996 for four more years. After two terms in office, the limit according to the Ghanaian constitution, Rawlings endorsed his vice president John Adam Mills as presidential candidate in 2000.
There it is.
All right.
It tells us about the death of Rawlings. And this man was, I tell you, I had the privilege to meet him when I was there. And he is definitely a pillar. Excuse me, I got to get this. That's a little technical thing. He was definitely a pillar there in Ghana. And I'm going to show you, play another clip about the kind of statue this man had in terms of what he thought about being westernized, and it's like may the brother rest in peace, but it's kind of like President Jerry Rawlings' dire warning to Africans before his passing. So we want to pick up with that. And but Ron, while I'm putting that clip together, what do you think about what you heard so far in terms of this man who has gone to the other side?
Well, first of all, Africans in this context mean you, the listener. Number one, our great Ghanaian brother Jerry Rawlings decided that country was going to be in its rightful place, right?
That's
he
right.
He put in work and put in time and put in effort to ensure that his people were taken care of. Right. He did a lot of great work. And that's the effort that we're talking about, right? So, again, he had a political and an economic agenda, right, a cultural agenda for his people. And so,
there
are you ready,
go.
Brother?
There you go. Now, I got that clip, so I'm going to back it back up so we can hear it.
Okay.
And this shows you the kind of thinking that this man had.
Pay attention, listeners.
Was the time when we
Education.
Saw the white man, our colonial powers, as our enemies. But I think, no, not that I think, something that is worse than an enemy is a traitor.
It's that house man.
Yes. And when we won our freedom, some of our countries were led by some of the most noble nationalists, but at the same time, with the passage of time, some of them became treacherous and rather betrayed our aspirations. In effect, what I'm trying to say is that as bad as an enemy can be, I think something worse than an enemy is a traitor. We've ended up evolving in the process of trying to modernize. We've ended up being westernized to the point where, as I sit here before you, when I wanted to even name my children African names, heroic names, I'm a Catholic. The Catholic Church, or some, that character, you know, back at home, said no. I cannot. They'll have to be Catholic names. I mean, those Catholic names are European names. I went through an argument with this priest, and I said, listen, I have a right to my identity. Don't take away my identity. Okay? I mean, Christianize me if you may, but don't westernize me. Let me just say something. I have a little theory that the world is manipulated. I may be wrong, but the world is manipulated by the multinational corporations, the media, some parts of the media, and the intelligence apparatus as a triumvirate, and they are neatly sandwiched like the ham. Like your tomato, whatever it is, they're neatly sandwiched in between the governed people, you, the governed ordinary people, and the governors. That is where the manipulation takes place. And there is a symbiotic relationship between the triumvirate and sometimes at this level. And if we do not make every possible attempt to return morality, when we're talking about the immorality of international politics, the immorality in business ethics is also percolating downwards, and the criminal corrupt thing that goes on in my world is bad. So the sooner we begin to return, to restore some sense of morality in business ethics, in politics, in the media, intelligence apparatus, with belief, conviction that this is wrong, etc. After all, if you're talking about globalization, then please, let the same value, what is good for the goose, let it be good for the gander.
Did you like or hate what you
got? Let us know. There you go. Did you hear that?
Well, well. Yes, sir.
Did you hear that profound thinking? Now, that brother said a lot right there. He talked about it, that in the process of modernization, that the thing he saw would happen, and he's talking about the traditional ways, he said modernized, he said we became westernized,
mm-hmm.
in the quest for modernization, you know, because those brothers are very, very innovative, you know. I mean, I've been in the raw village. And I see them in the village watching television set, mm-hmm. some battles. And
that's right.
And I mean, but There's nothing wrong with being able to be on the quest to modernize, and they've done that. But he said in the process of that, there was an exchange that they have, in a sense, become westernized. Now, I like Ghana out of most of all the African countries because they have a lot of its traditional ways and its cultures intact. But let's talk, let's kind of unpack some of the things. Excuse me. What he said, Brother Rome. He talked
All right.
about the multinationals, the media, and the intel, the things like, you know, that have, it's like a sandwich, and how it affects the government. he said that, the thing about this here is one thing that I did not want to happen, and I strive to keep it from happening, is the loss of my identity. And he tells about how when he wanted to give some names for his children, the Catholic Church told him he had to have some European names.
Mm.
And he wrestled with him with that, see? And isn't that the whole thing about an identity crisis? If we shifted from the motherland now, because we know they went to colonization and colonialism and all like that. The problem here today in our country is indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say, man, in a sense, we live in a society that is perpetuates itself on the foundation of tenets of racism. That's America's original sin. That America was established as a white society upon the near genocide of one race and enslavement, kidnap of another. And in the process of that indoctrination, we have, until we rediscover who we are and define institutions that define our own reality, we have lost our identity and got caught up in this systemic racism.
Mm-hmm.
It perpetuates itself. It's in all spheres. That's why the African American Empowerment Association has those pillars. Those, I believe, it's six pillars, from education to politics to ethnics and all that, so that we can rebuild and define our originality and not be caught up in such a system that perpetuates itself. The brother said he said it right, and they fought to preserve that, and I think that's something that we have to make up our mind that we're not going to be a part of that systemic mindset to make a difference. So, what's your thinking, my brother?
Well, I think you're right. So it's two pieces in here that we really have to look at. That's indoctrination and then our identity. I think at many
mm-hmm.
times because we've been raised in this culture, and the brother talks about it all the time, about who our daddy is that we have an identity problem because we have a duality. That is where African, Aboriginal Americans, and Americans means Europeans for many of us. And so we have, like the brother said, we're people of color with white minds. So we have to be able to identify with who we are, right, to really digest the beauty of who we are as people, right, our color, our lips, our hair. I went over to the museum. They have an exhibit here in Richmond on Egypt, and every statue, every African statue had the nose missing, right? And
mm-hmm.
I went there with the child, and I wanted them to identify with every other object there, and then when it comes to the people that look like you, the noses are missing. Why are our noses missing? Because that nose identifies you with that ancient history, right? So we have to identify with who we are and our culture and love ourselves, right? Love your kinky, curly hair. Love your big black African lips or your small African lips or whoever you are, your skin tone, your complexion, just as you are, as the Creator made you. That's what I think, brother. We have to have an identity.
Absolutely.
That is solely ours, and walk this planet in the ways in which we should. But again,
that's
we have
so
to
true.
Combat the indoctrination, right? That's why cultural programs are relevant. Education is relevant. It's real. It's important.
So true. So true. So true.
All right. You want
to
go to the lines, brother? All right.
Yes,
let's go to the lines. I'm starting out up top today. 9282, you're number one on the list. Welcome to the Empowerment Saturday 365. Marvin Rowan and Stan Macklin, are you with us today?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I hope all is well with everyone. Look, just want to say, in context of what Brother Stan was talking about and the brother from Ghana, is all religions would agree that the devil rules this world in which we live. That's why you got to be saved and born again and confess in the name of Jesus, so when you die, you get to go to heaven. But this is not it. This is a world that's ruled by the devil. And so we must understand that if that is true, I ask the question, what is the first thing for the devil to rule the world? What is the first thing the devil has to take control of in order to be able to rule the world? And the answer is religion. He must take control of religion to be able to rule the world first. Because if you have righteous religious people all over the world, God-fearing, whatever, what have you, people that are in Christ, if you will, in Allah, in Buddha, if they all righteous religious God-fearing people, the devil would not be able to rule the world. So he must take control of religion. And the greatest lie the devil has ever told, in my humble opinion, to the world, is that God is not a man. You see, because once he convinced us that God is not a man, then he becomes the man. Because we're not looking for God in us, because we don't believe he's one of us. We now believe that he's something outside of us, somewhere in the sky, somewhere up, wherever he is. But the devil has convinced us that he is not a man, therefore we are not God, and nor can we be. That's his control. That's the history. That's the knowledge that we lack of self and kind that gives the devil his power to rule. But if you would read in the dictionary how they define God, they define God as the supreme or ultimate reality, such as a being perfect. Now, what's a being? A being is a man.
And on that same accord, if you look at Ecclesiastes 3:11, it talks about eternity is in our heart. Eternity. You hear that? Now, what is eternity? Eternity is God. God
eternity
is everlasting.
Is
He's the Alpha and the Omega. So, you know, the brother hits it on the head in a way, but we just have to, you know, I like it how, this was a president who was concerned about his people, and he dealt with corruption. He fought corruption, and he was not afraid to put himself out there. What we did not mention, though, was what he died of. He died from COVID-19. He went to his mother's funeral. 3 weeks after that, he got sick, and he never really recovered, you see? And I just want to hit this thing about this now. Now, these Africans, they know about plagues, because they were plagued with the Ebola. Remember
that?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, their death statistic is only 48,000. I mean, one death is too many. But here, look at America. We're way past 250,000. Now, Africa is a continent where you can put America in there inside of Africa four times. But yet they only have 48,000. Why? Because they believe in viruses. They believe in putting the mask. They believe in preventative measures. Here we are in a modernized country. Look at us. I believe that part of this is judgment here in America, too. I believe that. Because, you know, number one, it's targeted, and it's, a lot of it, and it's targeted toward basically us. But
true.
I think we have leaders, men and women of the statue of Jerry Rawlings, who are presidents, who are kings, because we're kings and queens by nature. And if we can just return back to our original position, as our brother who just gave comment, who we are, we can have dominion. And I think we just need to wake up and get to work.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, brother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, brother, for calling. I'm coming back to you. I'm going down to 4756. 4756. It's the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rowan and Stan Macklin. Are you available?
Hey, this is Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up. Just enjoying the conversation so far.
Brother Warren, what's happening?
Okay, listen to Stan. I had a chance. I visited Ghana a few times and to see some of the work that Rawlings has done to build Ghana up. Rawlings had a reputation of being the friend of the common man, the working people.
That's
and
right.
So you know, so it's sad on his passing. I had inquired about what he died of, and I someone mentioned they thought it was COVID, but supposedly that's not being said out in the open, as I understand in Ghana, and I don't think they've decided when his funeral. His funeral would be yet because he had a whole week of mourning, and I do know they have elections in about a week or two in Ghana, elections there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say that, you know, all black peoples on the planet are subjected to misinformation and ideological control. However, you know, over the decades, you know, we've become more sophisticated, and we have people out there who are sharing with us information we need to know to put us in an appropriate way of thought to have an appropriate action to solve our problems. And so, so there are many, many people on the African continent, in the African diaspora, you know, who publish books. They do lectures. They have videos, lectures on YouTube. And a lot of people are watching that. A lot of people on the African continent are aware of people like John Henry Clark. They're aware of the book, The Destruction of Black Civilization. And I think that's a positive thing. We can't be kept at the bottom forever. So The time is coming where we're going to be moving on up and rising on up. We're learning the sophisticated ways that have been developed and devised to keep us under suppression and control. We're better able to detect approaches. And, you know, even whether it was, even if it was a so-called first black president or whatever, we know the different ways that are used to kind of deceive us, you know. So it's just a matter of us doing our part to disseminate the information, share the perspective with our people, as you all are doing here on this program.
Thank you, Warren. Now the brother said, Rawlings said that we had to look out for traitors. And on a few shows back, Warren, you talked about a list of things that we need to look out for. Can you go over that list again?
Yeah, let me pull it up. I got it right over here. It's looking for, I got the list right here. Okay.
He called them traitors.
That's
yeah,
right.
Traitors.
He said the enemy.
It was informers are agents. See, we have to be understand. See, like this conversation, see, like this show right here, an agent will be sitting right on this show and will comment, and it will comment such that you all would agree with what they say. And then they'll get very comfortable in this environment and constantly, you know, be around. And then slowly but surely, they'll begin to introduce and recommend and suggest things that take you on a different way. So one of the things, some indication was he or she speaks negatively of black people. He or she denies that racism exists. He or she contends that blacks are actually racist. He or she emphasizes that black youth are criminal and immoral. He or she denies the existence of police brutality in the black community. He or she injects divisive topics in a black discussion to create diversion and confusion. He or she emphasizes that black people should not see themselves as a group. Let me start right there. I want to go to this part where it says he or divisive topics in the black community. I know many of you all are aware of this term called foundational black. And the concept of foundational blacks, as I'm aware, referring to blacks in the United States who are descendants of enslaved Africans, and is used as an attempt to create a distinction from, let's say, black immigrants. And we kind of have to be careful with that concept, because if you look at the black population during enslavement, we were always an evolving, expanding community. There were always other blacks coming in, just like white people. White people kept having immigrants from Europe coming in. So the black population in the United States constantly had other blacks from Africa and the Caribbean coming in. And so that's an example of creating divisiveness, so we can't see ourselves as a collective group. And the concept of Pan-Africanism looks as if it becomes a threat to us because we want to identify with other black people. I'll stop right there, but that was just some of the things we have to be careful, that there are people who are fostering things in the community. And I'm not saying the people who are saying foundational blacks mean any harm, but I think they mean well. But what they don't understand they're doing is they're creating an unnecessary distinction and division among the blacks in the U.S. because as the white population decreases, it's going to need to see black people divide itself more. And so I believe that there are right-wing conservative forces that have partnered with or invested in elements of the black community to push a nativist perspective so that blacks who identify as foundational blacks have antagonistic views towards blacks from the African continent and other countries.
All right. Thank you for sharing, Warren. I'm coming back to you. We have to come together. We have to be able to come to a collective consciousness, as Brother George says. And then we have to, no matter where you're from on this planet, right, we have to unify and a common cause to work for our stability on this planet. What you got, Stan?
Well, I tell you what, let's listen to this brother again, saying the same thing what he said about this dire warning.
All right, then I'm going to 8128.
We saw the white man, our colonial powers, as our enemies. But I think, no, not that I think, something that is worse than an enemy is a traitor.
What?
Yes. And when we won our freedom, some of our countries were led by some of the most noble nationalists, you know, of our time. But at the same time, with the passage of time, some of them became treacherous and rather betrayed our aspirations. In effect, what I'm trying to say is that as bad as an enemy can be, I think something worse than an enemy is a traitor. We've ended up evolving in the process of trying to modernize. We've ended up being westernized.
You hear that, brother? He's talking about the distinction. He's making a distinction there.
before you.
Children. So we're talking about the three I's, Dan. We're talking about indoctrination, which then created an identity issue for us as we live in this country. And then we integrated, which further westernized us. And so we have to get to a place where we understand who we are and have a strategy for ourselves and our families. I'm going over to 8128. You ready, Stan?
Yeah. Go ahead.
8128. You're live. The Empowerment Network. It's Marvin Rowan and Stan Macklin. Are you with us?
No. Good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Hey, brother.
Listen. This is a great show as always. One thing that we have not brought into this conversation yet, and I was waiting to hear it, was the joining between Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X concerning Pan-Africanism.
That's right.
And how that was something that they were trying to bring about, our connections with our motherland, to strengthen us over here. Because we as a people are not acknowledging our African roots, so we are not connecting officially with African countries, you know, that could really bring us even more close to the face. I don't know if it's okay. At any rate, that would give us, like, for instance, with Israel. Israel is one of the most racist, brutal countries.
Zionists,
I mean, the way they are treating those people whose land they've stolen over there is akin to how these white folks over here have treated us. But they are actually, I mean, genocide, their mass slaughter, they got them boxed off. But what I'm saying that to say is that this country gives Israel billions of dollars. Right? We would have the foundation that we need if we officially make ties as a people with our African our brothers and sisters and officially establish ourselves, okay, as being part of around the world, because we're not recognizing that. We are looking at ourselves as being isolated. So therefore, we are isolated, and we are being kept isolated by the mere fact that that's where our mindset is. You know, they don't talk about Malcolm, and they don't talk about Martin Luther King Jr. talking about Pan-Africanism. That's how Intelpol got involved and came in and destroyed it, and it was just like something out of The Godfather, when this country went to Africa and to all our African and black leaders and killed them.
That's true.
You know,
that's
we
true.
Just need to get this Pan-African thought process in line. And, you know, I'm going to leave it at that. And let us build on things that we can totally have a foundation to build for our future from. Without that,
great
we're
points,
not going to do it. We need it to move.
Yes, okay.
Great points. I'll come back to you in a minute, brother. We have now, I must say, we have some great, great freedom fighters in the Caribbean. We have Cuban freedom fighters.
That's
we true. Have Afro-Brazilian freedom fighters. So they're all over the world, right? And they've been putting forth the effort to liberate us in many ways as they can.
That's right.
What you got, Stan?
And Pan-African, I'm glad the brother brought it out because, Africa lost a giant of Pan-Africans and African because, and he was a charismatic continental statesman. I don't see how a person can overlook that. And all great men, freedom fighters, have been there. Malcolm, when he went there, his whole journey changed. His whole pilgrimage
revolutionized his whole life. You know, Malcolm been there, Marcus Garvey, you know where he was coming from. And we just got to get back to our roots. We must. I mean, and if we just look at it from even from a religious standpoint, when Herod was trying to kill the baby Jesus, where did God kill Joseph in a dream to go put him, go hide him?
In Egypt.
Egypt is in Africa. And he
That's
told
right.
him to stay there until Herod was dead. You see? So there's something about the mother line. Plus, it's a known fact. The cradle of civilization began there. It's the birthplace of humanity. Come on now. The Garden of Eden was there in Ethiopia. I mean, that's all in Scripture. It's there. So we as a people must migrate back to our original place. We're out of
that's
place
right.
because we have not become westernized, but we have become indoctrinated in systematic racism. And we must get delivered. We must get back to our foundational. We must.
That's so true. And I'll say this.
The three things he talked about, the multinationals, the media and the intel agencies, such as like the CIA and the Interpol,
mm-hmm.
he hit
yeah.
it right on the head, man.
He did.
Those, Martin Luther King talked about those that three prong evil, you know, racism, militarism, and it's one more, but that multinational, you know, think of how many conglomerates profited off of slave labor. Think about it. And yet you got problems with reparations. The media, we know how manipulative the media is. Look what this current administration has done with it. And of course the intel agencies, hey, we know what they're about. I'm surprised we're able to even do what we do on this program. You know? But that traitor thing, you know, our problem here in America is the house man. They're supposed to work together. But he said it is worse than an enemy. We say keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. That's what we say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, I don't know. I don't know if I want no enemies around me.
Well,
but
you live, you've been raised, as the brother said, the enemies are your daddy. And we're not being negative when we say this, but when you look at it historically and when you look at it culturally, it's just there. And again,
right.
our place is to examine what it is that we're dealing with, the cards that we're dealt, and be able to have an effective plan of action to preserve our health, our lives, our culture, our communities. Sliding down to 0946. 0946, are you with us?
I am with you. I just got on the call about 5 minutes ago, so I'm just going to continue to listen. I think I'm getting a gist of what's going on, but I'll just listen
All
at
right.
this point. Thank you.
Okay, well, we're talking about returning to our rightful place. We're talking about indoctrination. Right, and we're talking about our identity here and how we've been westernized, and we talked about Jerry Rawlings and his passing, but I want to say we have to take it in our own hands, right? We have to be able to decide now what our future is going to be, and that's a collective, right? That's all over the world, people of color, right? Not just African Americans, but Haitians and Ghanaians and Jamaicans and, like I said, Afro-Brazilians and Cubans and all of those. All of us around the world in the diaspora, right? Because on one other point the brother made is, don't you think this country is providing Israel with billions of dollars to maintain that stronghold over there for a reason? Because
that's right.
also our historical homeland, if you do your research,
mm-hmm.
as well. Because
right.
many of our people
mm-hmm.
were pushed out of there centuries
right.
ago for another reason. So even when it comes down to the religious piece, they have taken the religious homeland of Israel as well, but that's a whole nother conversation. All right, what you got, Stan?
Well, this is just a great time that we can have this this global discussion because, you know, I mentioned earlier Ecclesiastes 3:11. It talks about eternity is in our heart, and it talks about the beginning and the ending of all things. Only God knows that, and that's true. You know, great leaders come and great leaders go. But I want to say to everybody that's listening, while you have breath in your body, as the older folks said, now I'm older, while the blood is still running warm in your veins, you need to take a stand and make a difference today. You know, Harriet Tubman, I love her, but she's dead. Martin Luther King, I love him, but he's dead. Malcolm, great man, he's dead. You know, you can go on and on and on, but we are alive. And those of us that are alive, it behooves us to do what we must do, ride on their shoulders and go on and let's build the next civilization. We can do it. We can do
That's
it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't
about.
Care who you want to look how we, you know, there's different components of Pan-Africanism, but we must come together. Kwame Nkrumah's desire was to have a United States of Africa. There's 54 African countries, okay? What if they were United States? Don't even talk about the wealth that's in there. Every mineral, every wealth resource is there. It just behooves us, if you haven't been, make an effort to go and get yourself involved in defining your own reality. We got to get delivered from these Eurocentric ways. Unless we decide to stay in this country, and yes, we must. Can't not necessarily have to work for them, but we have to work with them. But we have to do it in a way where we don't lose our identity, as Brother President
right.
Rawlings said.
Now, you know, Gaddafi tried to combine
yes.
the currency over there in Africa, and you see where
and
he is. But that, again, is another conversation.
That's
I'm going
right.
back to 9282. Hey, we got to look out for the indoctrination. We're talking about returning to our rightful place. What you got, brother?
You know, brothers, as I said last week, the greatest threat to us in this country is that house nigga. Okay?
Oh.
That's the one that keeps us under control. That's the one the white man leans on and peddles to keep us in our place. I mean, from the plantation until the day we left the plantation. It's that house nigga. I remember there was a cover shot on Life magazine, I think it was, back in 1952, the year I was born, during the China Revolution. On the cover of that magazine was a young man had a gun to his uncle's head, blowing his brains out, because his uncle was a house nigga. And they said that for us to do this revolution, that was necessary for them to do it. Okay, that's our greatest threat. And we got house niggas, and some of them, I give them benefit of the doubt, they may not know they house niggas, but they deadly to us. As the brother said earlier, they traitors. They keeping us down. They got, they talking about the knee in the throat. That's the knee in our throat, is our own people, the house niggas, man. And be honest, we're going to have to deal with them. One way or the other, for us to stand up, we're going to have to deal with the house niggas. And hopefully, the brothers and sisters wake up and become black and say, I'm coming home. I'm giving this up. I'm not going to hold you down anymore. I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to let myself be pimped. And then the other thing is, not only do we now need to return to our original land, but more importantly, we need to return to our original mind. Because if you go back to Africa with the mindset we got now, they probably saying in the first year or so, y'all niggas need to go back to America. If we go over there in the mindset that we are in now, thinking we're going to sell dope, pimp some gals, run nightclubs, do all this, start setting up gangs and kill. If we go over there in the mindset we in now.
Babylon.
Yes, sir. They even say, y'all niggas need to go back, man. You need to go back, and we need to be aware of something else. What happens on January the 20th in 2021 if there is no change of power in this country and we look up and there's a new form of government or a revolution going on?
I got my passport.
You know,
hope I can get out here.
The National Republican Party just said the other night on that website that Donald Trump won the election. Now, I'm talking about the National Republican Party. committed, said this, that he won the election. Now, you're talking about the Republican Party. There are only two parties in this country now, Republicans and the Democrats. So that's supposed to be a split. So if they split, if white folks split, and we look up and there's a what going on in this country, what are we going to do?
Well, hopefully they'll give us a warning, at least 30 to 45 days, so we can get our stuff together and try to get up out of here, boy.
In the state of mind that we are in right now, we the prize for the winner. Who wins gets us. You know, we the victor's present, the niggas, thanks to the house niggas.
Uh-oh.
Leading us right to that. You know what I mean? We need to really wake up and pay attention to where this thing is, and we don't mean to have a lot of time, brothers and sisters. We've got to unite. We've got to come together as a people. Stop being selfish. Stop making it about me, and realize it's about us. It's about us as a people, you know. And then finally, I'm gonna say this about COVID-19. We got to answer this question: is it man-made or is it God-made? And since I see God as a man, let me say it a different way. Was it made by the devil or was it made by God? Now, if it's made by God, we so-called religious people that's got God in our hearts, God in our minds, and we right with God, what are we worrying about? Because it ain't coming after us. If it's made by the devil, then what are we saying? He's trying to kill us again. We got this, like Ebola. It's man, and he got the cure. Because he wouldn't put it out there if he didn't have a cure. You know what I'm saying? He ain't
well, your president
something.
got healthy
he
real
got,
quick.
Didn't he? Cause
got immune
made,
real
if
quick.
If it's made by them, I guarantee you, brother, that's the intelligence community now. You're talking about, like the brother in Africa said, that the intelligence community, the CIA, national security, all them people, if they behind it, then they're not going to put it out there if they do not have the cure. And who is it killing? Who is it killing mostly?
It's quiet on the line now. Who is it killing, people?
It's killing mostly.
It's real quiet.
So
I've been looking
that
at
tells me they're doing
well, you know,
it. And they got the cure.
Well, you know, the brother just bring up some profound points because, say, like on January 20th, say if it is a coup, why couldn't it be? You know, this brother, he split the country in half. He has a tremendous following because they support that nonsense, that racist systemic ways. And they could easily rise up and say, we don't want nothing else to do with democracy. It's our way, and now it's the highway. And so, we need to be realistic. And I'm going to say it like this here. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have no passport, you can't go nowhere because you're a prisoner here in this country. You locked in.
Amen
to
that.
Passport.
Don't be afraid. Be wise.
Be wise.
Attentive. Be assertive. Be smart.
Mm-hmm.
And be yourself. Thank you, brother. I'm going to slide on down to where we going, Stan? I'm going on over to the borders changed on me. I'm going over to 8128. 8128, are you there?
I'm here, my brother.
All right.
I mean, this has been a very a great conversation, and I think that this is something that we definitely need to promote our people to start looking at this country on a more global basis. I think that the more that we look at ourselves as being isolated here in America, the less we see of the reality of what goes on in this country. Because the rest of the world is not confined to the same type of media brainwashing and held to such a narrow type of viewpoint as the rest of the world. The more you look at, like for instance, you were saying about what is going on in Africa, okay? Unless you specifically look into African countries. You know nothing about Africa in this country at all.
That's true.
You know nothing about
Africa. That's right. That's right.
You know, you must study. You must research. You must get both sides of the story in order for you to be able to make a decision. You can't do that because right now, if you talk to most black people, Africa is Africa. Yeah. Well, you know, I know they're doing a whole some things over there. I think they may have some modernization. People don't really know what's going on in this world, in this country, especially black people, unless they're involved in things of that nature. And the majority of us
We need to wake up.
Go ahead, bro.
Quickly, we need to wake up.
And those with knowledge.
Well, we need
to
quit paying so much attention to CNN and ABC and NBC and listen to the Black News Channel and Global News so we can know what's going on. And, you know, I mean, we just need to be more informed.
Right.
Yeah, but that goes back to indoctrination.
Go ahead, brother. You know that they don't even show pictures of the cities in Africa in
regular broadcasting.
You know, you may see a little bit in maybe one of these movies, these big production movies when you have overseas budgets, but they don't show you a lot about what the cities look like. Okay? I remember in one of the Iron Man movies, they showed the destruction, the Marvel Comics Avenger thing, where they were showing some building going on in one of the African countries and some damage that they did there. But that was like, I'm like, wow, look at this. All this modernization in these countries that they don't even show you. You don't know that you think Africa's still in the jungle. You think it's a bunch. Because the only thing they talk about is these little villages who need your help. Okay?
Right.
So they make Africa look like it is still on its knees when it is reaching for the sky.
Got that right.
So,
you got that right.
You know,
thank you, brother.
So you're welcome, my brother.
Great point.
I mean, just something
great
to
point.
About.
All right. Thank you. I'm going down to 0946. 0946, I got to get you before we go.
Yes, I'm enjoying the conversation. You know, as I'm listening, there's that constant struggle that we deal with, and that's purpose and paralysis. And sometimes, we got the house, nigga, but you know what? We gonna have the house, nigga. And it's gonna be a part of the revolution. And just kind of planning for that and knowing that they're going to be there and to have things in place to identify them so that they don't get as involved in the pursuit that we are going for our freedom. So I think that you can get bogged down in all the problems and all the challenges that seem to be in front of us, but you just got to get that part of that indoctrination delirious that we can overcome and that we're going
That's
to
right.
overcome and that we have a plan and we are moving forward and get so blindsided and get so focused that, yes, there are other issues that we have to deal with, but when we get the layers of focus that we can do it, then we'll have the tools to deal with those challenges.
Well, see,
That's true.
This is why every king has a queen in his life to encourage him, just like you just did, that we can do it. We can do it because it's a balanced thing. It's a lot. We admire the perspectives of our queens because it gives balance.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Stan, we got about a minute left. Wrap it up. Thank you, sister. Wrap it up, Stan.
Hey, man. Great program. Ghana is going to continue to be strong, and they're building communities over there. And I say again, if you don't have a passport, get you a passport. If you want to go to the motherland, we'll get you there. We'll help you to get there so that you can get exposed and get involved. And as one brother said, don't just limit yourself to this national local news here. Get yourself involved with what's going on in terms of the motherland and around the globe, because this is real. And so we don't know what's going to happen here, but we know that
what is happening is that we're going to continue to build the African God bless.
That's true.
In a little tent.
Peace and blessings.
Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky.